The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
We are going to talk about herbaceous plants and other matters gardening related with Mari Staunton, who's here. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
How are your bulbs?
I'm good. They're fine. They're starting to grow. I was out looking at them this morning at about 5:45 and I had a peek at them and there is some life there.
Yeah. Summer flowering bulbs.
It's going well. I will keep you informed. Oh, I know I was late to the party, but I think it's going to work. So herbaceous plants, why should we have them?
Okay, so they are the mainstay of big summer borders. And the problem sometimes is you might have a huge border, but it's in the shade. So what do you put in it in terms of herbaceous? Mm-hmm. And there's so many gorgeous things. One, if you want a bit of height, is called Solomon seal. So they're like rods and then they kind of arch over and they have beautiful little white flowers on them. So they're for kind of shade. Hostas for shade. There's one called Brunnera macrophylla. It's kind of Jack Frost. It's got tiny little blue flowers on it. Really beautiful. And beautiful silver and green heart-shaped leaves. Gorgeous. And then you have, I suppose the common name is Blue-Eyed Mary, which is really nice. And it has very vibrant blue flowers on it and dark green leaves. So they're all for shade, cyclamen and all that sort of thing. Really gorgeous. And you can have lots of little different kind of colour combinations underneath, kind of even if there's a bit of shade from trees. So they're your kind of shady ones. And then on the other side, say you have a sunny border and you want to pack it with peony roses, with phlox, with penstemon, all sorts of wonderfully kind of vibrant colours, cannas, lilies, gladioli. Some of your bulbs were gladioli, actually.
No, we don't know. It's
you
a
don't
mystery.
Know. It's a surprise.
I'll
okay,
have to take pictures of them and
forget
them in.
Half price stuff.
Bargain basement. I was in the garden centre at the weekend. Like, it's typical. We're all like me. Yeah, it was absolutely mobbed.
Jammed.
Yeah, but actually, we should be in the garden centre at a different time of year, shouldn't we? Prepping.
Yeah, you see, that they're waiting for you to come in. So they have all the stuff ready kind of weeks before you went in there the other day, and they're waiting for you to get. So people, we eat with our eyes as well. You're looking at colour, and they have it all colour blocked when you go in, so you can't avoid looking at it. But the prep, you're buying them at their most expensive, the plants.
The plants now?
Yeah, because they would have had them in smaller pots, like I said kind of a few weeks ago. They would have had them in smaller little pots maybe 6-7 weeks ago, and they are the herbaceous plants that are now being sold for, you know, a lot more.
But they look so beautiful.
They do, because you're going in, you're going, ooh, that's going to look gorgeous in my garden. I'm going to get four, you know. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's come to some questions. This listener recently bought a red robin plant still in a pot?
Pot.
It says pod, but I think they mean pot. It's turned brown and it looks dead.
Oh, right. Lovely.
They've been watering it and it's in the sunshine. Is there anything I can do to save it? What if it's dead?
It's dead. Okay. The quick way to check if something is dead is just to get your nail and scrape a little bit off the stem. And if there's still green underneath, it's savable. Okay. Red robin do not like, so it's photinia. It doesn't like to be in a pot. You know, it's not really, it's meant to be kind of big and bold and have those glorious kind of reddish leaves, and the new foliage is red. So get out of the pot. If it's the stem, after being scraped, is green, get it in the ground if you can. Mm-hmm. They just don't like pots.
Don't like pots.
No.
And if it's dead, it's dead.
It's dead, dead,
sorry
dead.
For
yeah.
your trouble.
Sorry. Yeah.
Anne in Sligo has a small outdoor area with a few heather plants and wants to put down some bark surrounding them, but unsure how to go about it. Does she have to do anything special, or can she just lash it down there?
Well, not at all. You can just lash it down. I would suggest at the moment the birds are looking for worms to feed their young. So if it's big chipped bark, they toss it all over the place, you know, and you come out and you've just done like 5 hours of gardening the day before and now it's looking rubbish, you know, because they've tossed it everywhere. So there is one called composted bark. So it's a fine grade bark. So it's a bit like compost, but heavier. And then you can just put it in, sweep it in around the lovely heathers and stuff. And they don't tend to pick at it and throw it all over the place. So composted bark or fine grade bark.
Okay.
Ideal.
This one, have you a remedy for getting rid of scutch grass?
Scutch grass.
What is scutch grass?
Scutch grass is nearly as bad as bindweed. You know, in terms of gardening, scutch grass is like, or couch grass. It travels along underground and then it just pops up like long strands of grass. Mm-hmm. Dogs love it because, you know, the way dogs like to eat a bit of grass.
Yes, they do.
But if you pull it, it breaks and it leaves a tiny bit of the root and it ends up you know, growing again from that tiny bit of root. So you have to dig it all out. So they have white kind of roots. And if you go through, I mean, it's horrendous to try and get it out. It's absolutely, but there's nothing you can do.
Do you bother, or do you just leave it?
I just, well, at the moment I just pull it because they're not putting chemical on it. So just pull it. And, you know, if you're out there kind of hoeing and doing stuff, you know, you eventually weaken it enough to get it out. The other thing you can put is to, it has to photosynthesize to keep going. So it has to be, get as much sunshine as
you
can.
So block the light.
Yeah, so block the light. If you want to put cardboard over it and that sort of thing, and then mulch the bed after that. At least you're kind of, you're weakening it, I'd say.
A listener says, don't plant hostas. Hostas?
Hostas, yeah, why not?
Snails and slugs devour them as they poke above the ground and they're decimated in weeks.
They do, yeah. Well, if you've no trees in the garden and no birdies to take the snails, because at the moment I can hear all the birds knocking the shells off the snails, and it's a delight to me actually to hear that. Tap, 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 and then you know that they've got another snail. So if you have no trees that birds can hide in, or hedgerows or native trees, yes, your hostas will be decimated, that's for sure.
But some birds.
You need birdies. You know, you need, there has to be a whole kind of ecosystem in the garden in order for things to thrive, and you're feeding the birds as well. So there's a whole kind of thing going on.
Okay, get some birds in there.
Get some birdies. Yeah.
And plant your hostas.
Yeah.
How do you get rid of the yellow patches in your lawn? They keep popping up. Is it just about watering it properly?
It's can be down to daddy long legs larvae that are eating the roots of the grass.
Really?
I know, yeah. Shocking, isn't it? So they can eat the roots of the grass and it turns yellow in patches here and there. If you have a dog, you have the same sort of problem. But this is, yeah, daddy long legs lay their little eggs and they burrow down, they eat the roots. So, you know, most of the people are at the moment are putting on a feed on the lawn. The problem with putting a feed or anything like that, a weed and feed on the lawn at the moment, is if it doesn't rain, it burns the grass really badly. So you have to make sure that you're watching the weather forecast. You can put it on and then watch the weather forecast to make sure that it rains within a couple of days and it soaks it in. So if there's yellow patches, it is to do with that, the daddy long legs or animals, basically. It's not, or as low in nitrogen. You know, so something as simple as that.
Something as simple as that. I think I've overwatered. I planted some seeds when I was doing the bulbs, right? I think I've overwatered them. Well, my husband says that I did. What can I rescue the situation?
See, sometimes when you flood them and you overwater them, they just get really straggly or they go flat. You know, they kind of, they go flat to the mat on the little. Just ease off. You know, if you feel the compost and it's kind of just moist, that's perfect. It doesn't need to be swimming in water because you're they're only tiny little roots.
I don't know what I don't know. We see, I've got little shoots coming up everywhere that I've planted apart from in this thing that I've done. So I might have to write it off.
Yeah. So start again. Just get another packet of seeds. Seeds are so cheap. It's great. You can, you know, start them again. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I might do. Mari, thank you so much. Listen, just a really quick one. Talking about pots, how do I know if something would be better in a pot or in the ground? Is there a rule?
No, you can plant something that's in a pot in the ground at any time. But generally speaking, if it's a big shrub, we were talking about photinia, they don't really like pots. You know, so if it's a Japanese Acer, you know, you can bonsai something like that and it can be lovely in a pot, or a camellia or something. But generally, if it's meant to be a tree, it, you know, biggish tree, then it's very difficult.
Mari Staunton, great on Instagram, by the way.
Thank
if you want to go
much.
And have a look. Official Mari Staunton.
Mari Staunton Official.
Mari Staunton Official.
You.
You'll find her anyway. Do a quick search. Mari, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thank you so much. Thank you to everybody for listening today. You can listen back on the Go Loud app if you missed anything.
The Clare Byrne Show with Aviva Insurance. Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.